piercing your firewall and filling your ports with technology goodness. It's the 1352 Report.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 5 of the 1352 Report. Today we're here with the gang, including Jess Stratton.
Hello.
Sean Burgess.
Howdy.
And the beloved Carl Tyler.
Good afternoon.
How are you all? Don't all go first. I know you guys are really excited to go to Lotusphere and everything, and that's all you can talk about, but...
Is that coming up or something?
I don't know. When is Lotusphere, Jess?
The 19th, I believe, through the 23rd.
Right of January 2009.
Oh, wow. And from the top of my head.
For those of you who have not registered, you have until November 7th to pay $1,895 U.S. After November 7th, it is, I think, $2,095. So register now, register early. If you have a group of 20 or more people, you get a discount. I think it's, what, $17.95 or something like that. But you can read more about that on lotusphere.com. Carl, you're in my sights right now.
Okay, Bruce, and it's November 8th.
It is November 8th.
Yeah, not 7th.
Well, you can register on November 7th.
You can, and you'll still get the deal. It's actually it's kind of, oh, no, it says now until November 7th, the fee is this. On November 8th, the fee will increase to.
Right, and that's what I meant. And if you didn't get it...
Now we've explained it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of Lotus...
That's $200 worth of beer you can get right there if you do it on November 7th versus November 8th.
Yeah, or I think the price of Lotus beer is almost the value of my 401k right now.
It's actually, you know what it is? It's the price for like a 10-person company to support Lotus Symphony.
$25,000. So, Lotusphere, you know, every year, you know, we watch the opening general session, and some Lotusphere opening general sessions, you know, we mostly like, and some kind of we walk away like, what? So, Carl, you and I were talking about something earlier, which I wanted to throw to the rest of the group. So let us have it, mister.
Well, we were wondering, you know, what is it that makes a good or great Lotusphere when you leave on the day after, you're on your plane or you're in your car driving or flying back to wherever you came from? What is it that makes it a great Lotusphere for you? And I think a few of the things we thought was, you know, a great keynote speaker really helps. We think, I think most people are in agreement, unless you're a big sports fan and you're American, was that last year's opening speaker was a big letdown. You know, I think for most people still, I don't know, for me, the big one was still Neil Armstrong was still probably one of the best opening speakers. He could have talked about nothing for an hour and you could have just sat there in awe of that guy. But I think we all decided that a good keynote speaker was key. There was a few things that I had that make a really good Lotusphere, which was waking up Thursday morning without a hangover is always a good thing. Not being late to a presentation that I'm presenting is always not a bad thing. And this was all these were things we were just discussing in the Lotusphere 2009 chat on Skype. A few people said things like no boring presentations by product managers. The one that actually came up a few times was that they hate it if there's a presentation that turns into a sales pitch for WebSphere Portal or something like that within the first 5 minutes. So that was something that came up a few times. Another big one that I like is actually catching a developer or somebody in the development lab, where you go up to them telling them about a bug that just, you know, has been irritating for you for ages, and they say something like, well, why don't you use this undocumented method instead? And your jaw just kind of drops, and you're going, well, that just saved me weeks and weeks of time. So that sometimes, those little conversations can often pay for that Lotusphere fee. So what about you other guys? What else do you always think makes a great Lotusphere?
Yeah, I think the opening general session to me is the announcements at the opening general session, because that sets the pace for everybody. And like my Lotusphere, to be a good Lotusphere for me, depends on the whole energy of the conference. And I think so much of that rides on, you know, what Lotus tells us about at the OGS, you know, what they tell us about. If it's, you know, if it's humdrum, if it's a little bit of a letdown, you know, it makes the difference between something really, really great to get the whole mood up for the whole week for everybody. I think that's the one thing that really sets the energy for the whole week.
I sort of agree. Now, with the change in leadership at the top of Lotus this year for the OGS, it's going to be interesting to see the tone they come out with.
Yeah.
I think with a salesperson at the top, I think you'll find it's very different. I think it'll actually be quite good and much more upbeat than maybe it is when you have a development manager presenting, just because presentation techniques tend to be very different between somebody that has a development background and somebody that has a sales background. And I think salespeople tend to be better communicators to large groups.
What do you guys think of live demos during the OGS?
I think the thing is they have to be long enough to the thing that's happened in the last few Lotus Fairs where I think they've kind of screwed up a little bit is they haven't had a story tying all the demos together. It's always been like, here's a feature, here's a feature, here's a feature. And when you do that, people don't understand what the benefit of those features are to them. So you need a story that ties all these things together that makes sense to people in the way that they're going to use it in their day-to-day work. You know, it's like just having a telephone ring is like, great, but why is that different to just having my telephone ring normally? So I think the thing they need to try and do is get a story going between the different segments that people do, but also explain the features and why they really make a difference in what you do day to day versus just saying, hey, this is really cool. It's like, well, we imagine it's cool, but why does it have benefit?
Is that like your top three things is why we should have upgraded Domino 8 that we talked about a few episodes ago?
It's the same sort of thing, right? Which is if you're speaking to the press or you're speaking to a customer, if you want them to go away with something, focus on three points, emphasize those points and explain why they're important, but put them into a term that they understand, you know, for what they do day to day.
Yeah, because last year, right, we walked away from the OGS. There was a lot of stuff, right, thrown at us. And I think Carl, you raise a good point. You know, walk away, be able to repeat the message that came out fairly easily.
Yeah, I think, you know, anybody coming out of that thing should be able to say, if Lotus and IBM are good, everybody would come out saying, oh, well, these were the things I took away, and they'd have the three same things. Doesn't matter who you are, you'd have the same three things.
Mm-hmm. Jess, how about you? The last couple of Lotus Fairs you've been at, what are some of the highlights that you really said, wow, you know, that was cool, that made Lotus Fair spectacular?
Ooh, well, okay, you're not talking about the opening general session right now. You're talking about the whole Lotus Fair. Wow. Let's see, that's a not having, you know, where I can actually get into all the sessions that I want to get into, you know, without too much of a choice. That's been getting really hard in previous years because all the sessions, they're just getting better and better, all of them every year. So that's something really difficult. So when I can actually get to all the sessions I want to, that's a really good thing. That said, I really like the same time. I did really enjoy the same time demos at the opening general session because I'm a visual person. I need to see it. You know, I know I always talk about, it seems like in every podcast, all the ideas that IBM talks about. Well, I think the opening general session is a chance to see it. I rely on those demos. And I do agree with Carl that I think if they had something to tie in to a more practical value, because that is something I often wonder, well, okay, that's great and it looks really neat, but to be honest, if I take this software and go home, how is it going to help me in my day-to-day job? So if they can actually find a way to tie that all in and show practical use for it, you know, that would be awesome. Now that said, a spectacular Lotus Fair would be not having a 7 a.m. buff at all.
Oh, man.
That sounds almost dirty.
Sean, how about you?
You know, for me, it's really great just to get back in touch face to face with so many people that I talk with all year long. You know, it's one thing to, you know, Twitter back and forth or to IM back and forth, but to really get in front of people and talk to them and be able to connect back with everybody in the real world that, you know, we just don't have sometimes. Mm-hmm. Do you guys plan on going to Sunday sessions this year?
I always do.
Yeah, I have always pretty much gone that or business development day.
And I've actually, they've increased the level of Sunday Jumpstart so much that a lot of times I end up where I feel like I've gotten my conference value just from the Jumpstarts. You know, I actually have been struggling as of the past few years with which Jumpstarts I want to go to. So, yeah. But I agree with you about seeing all the people. It's like, for me, Lotusphere, it's like camp for adults. You know, instead of arts and crafts, you have integrating DB2 with, you know, your database, things like that. But I see it. That's my summer camp.
But not only that, but going to a session where you see somebody doing something that you know you can use back there, being able to talk with them a few seconds and then connect with them back when you get into your real job. It's so much easier than just reading the presentation that you stole from somebody who went and seeing what they did.
That's why I always am happy when I can actually go to the session, because you can read the presentation, but it's definitely not connecting with the speaker at all. Like connecting like you are when you're there.
That, you know, that would actually help Lotusphere a lot, is if they made the presentations available to people that weren't able to attend. I know there's a big argument about, people have paid for it. They're the only ones that should be entitled to it. But I think it's actually a good thing if people aren't able to get Lotusphere. And I think there'll probably be more people next year that won't get to it because of recent events. I think it's, you know, it's silly that IBM doesn't make that available, because those presentations purely just help them. It can help them, sell more product if people can understand the product better and things like that.
Or even the
idea.
Even the videos, you know. I mean, yeah, they charge money for those videos, but do you really think that they recover and recoup the cost for those videos?
Well, the videos are done by a third party, so I can see why the cost is there, and it's the third parties are covering their time to record it. So they've done a calculation to figure that out. But I mean, again, you know, if somebody in Lotus or IBM said this is a marketable expense, we're going to cover this with our budget or whatever, they'd be able to do that. The thing is, in IBM, they would have need to have asked that budget last year.
It'd be really nice if you gave a presentation, if you were automatically given a DVD of your presentation.
Yeah,
because it just makes you better.
Yeah. I totally agree. Hey, speaking of Lotusphere, I'm going to throw you guys a little thing that appeared on Ben Langhenrich's blog a couple of hours ago, and that's the Lotusphere Sessions database. You guys all familiar with it, right?
Of course.
So Ben is asking for ways that he could make that database better. So let's start with Sean. Sean, throw out some ideas for Ben and the...
Oh, great. I haven't even thought about this. Lord,
it's an Oates database, right?
Don't rush us, Sean.
I didn't use it last year, so I don't know what upgrades he made last year to it. So start with Carl, because I'm sure he used it last year like a good boy.
All right, Carl.
Okay, let's think of the ones I'd like. The things I'd like to see is you can pick right now to move event certain items into your calendar. I'd like to be able to pick a bunch of them and have it just exported as a iCal file. So you could move it easily to your cell phone or whatever that maybe doesn't sync with Notes. One thing that actually Chris Miller and I have discussed a few times actually for the last couple of years, and we keep discussing and we're never sure whether it makes sense, is to have like a persistent chat room available as a URL of the database. So each presentation or session could have its own little chat room. So it'd be interesting in feedback from people if they think that'd be interesting. But you could almost think of that as like a Twitter focus group or something for each session.
They could probably
session.
Do that on Bleed Yellow since they have the newer connections up and running.
Yeah, you could do it that way. But I actually wouldn't use their persistent chat rooms because I'd want it to work. let's think. So there's that. I think it'd be cool if they had a web UI on it, you know, with a nice calendar. Like, actually, who was it this week was... Steve McDonough in Belfast that was blogging about how to do drag and drop calenders?
Yep.
Yeah,
with Maddie
was. Donut
stuff. It'd be kind of cool to have that in there, although I'm not really sure what benefit it would give. It'd just be a nice, cool demo app for people when they're showing the sorts of things you can do with Domino. Mm-hmm. But the one that, you know, is always to my mind is, you know, either some kind of discussion where people could discuss what happened in that. The session that there was there and things. Obviously, the one that people always want, and again, Lotus doesn't let Ben do this, is people want to get that database after Lotusphere with all the presentations in it. So I want to be able to go back to that database, look at the session, and find the presentation. And that's one of those things that I know Ben's tried to do, and IBM doesn't let him do it. And it'd be great if they somehow figured out a way of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't the Turtle partnership also make a BlackBerry client for that database?
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that would be my wish list, because I'm not using an iPhone. I'm not using a BlackBerry. I'm using Windows Mobile. And it does sync, and it, you know, the way it syncs with Windows Mobile is that it adds, it just creates a note document in the PDA itself for each one. But I haven't found a way that I can actually, I can definitely browse the, browse each session, but I can't add it to my calendar for my PDA. And that would be so helpful to me on Windows Mobile.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I want iCal is to move it. Well, actually, I use Outlook to schedule things in my Windows Mobile phone. And it, by having them as one big iCal file, I can just import that and be done with it. I know I should be using Traveler, right?
I'm using MNotes, Common Times MNotes. And love it. So I'm using Outlook. Changing it.
All right. Well, Sean, have you thought of anything?
No.
You know it's going to come back.
I really like Carl's idea about the message board after. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the – I think Volker Weber blogged about it. It was the BlackBerry Developer Conference in I think, San Francisco, where they have this beautiful session database on the BlackBerry. Did you guys see it by any chance?
Yep.
I'm going right now.
That was totally classy. You know, you look at the user interface and
– But then you can argue that, you know – The database is great because it uses the Notes UI, and if you're familiar with the Notes calendar, you just click the button and boof, it goes into your own personal calendar as well.
Yeah, but you know something, Carl? When I'm at a conference, I'm not ripping out my laptop as much as I used to.
No, not when I have a mobile that That's does right. all the same things.
Yep. But haven't you already got it into your phone? What are you going to do?
That's correct. It's in my calendar.
Yeah. So what's the point?
There's no... Oh, wow. Okay. Sean, anything new with foundations going on? You're the foundations guy of the group.
Really, I've been dealing with lately with the developer toolkit technology preview, and it's closed out today. And they're hoping to have it into out to production sometime before the end of the year. And it goes towards Carl's questions a few episodes ago about being able to package up Domino and Notes applications for the Foundations platform. And it's I can't say too much about what it actually does, the nuts, nitty-gritty stuff yet, but it does it quite nicely. It does take an application – you know, that is currently, you know, already built, packaged up for Foundations, and allow you to install it like a regular Foundations app you buy from Lotus. So it is pretty cool. I'm hoping that they're going to come up with a application store similar to what the iPhone has or what else, where you can go say, I want this application, this application, this application. You can look at the prices, download it to your Foundation server, and you're done. That would be really nice if they actually implemented that. I know Nitix had something like that in the past, but now that they're owned by IBM, it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to put that into play with Passport and if they're going to try to integrate it at all.
Yeah.
There's different lawyers involved now.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
Yeah, those app stores, you know, on Android phone, the iPhone, Salesforce.com, a couple other vendors, I think it would be beneficial to Lotus to have that for Foundations, for the Notes client, et cetera. So maybe that's something we'll hear about at Lotusphere.
It is definitely something that was talked about during the conference calls a lot. It is something that the BPs who were on the calls were saying that was a good idea. The tool itself, I know that Mikkel is looking at it, and I know that a couple other people I've talked to about it are looking at it. It's relatively simple, which is great. Fits right into the Foundations methodology. And hopefully it's going to be accepted with our groups for ISVs to put out their applications that are already built on Domino to easily port them right over to foundations.
Because mm-hmm. the IBM product catalog, you know, on that website, that's where people find out most of their information about products they buy from IBM. Snicker, snicker. Actually, I just finally filled out that form today in that partner catalog, and I'll tell you, it's
a piece of work, isn't it?
It's a piece of work, but enough with that. Sean, thanks for the foundations update.
Blue House.
A couple weeks ago, Lotus opened up Lotus Blue House at bluehouse.lotus.com, and Blue House is a social networking site. I don't know if I would compare it to things like LinkedIn/Facebook/Connection/Same Time. It's hard to describe, but I'm going to let Carl give an overview of Blue House.
I don't think I should be the person to do that.
You sure?
I'm definite.
All right. Let me talk about it a little bit. So essentially, the Blue House is open, and you can go there and sign up, and kind of like in LinkedIn and Facebook, you can request to be a contact of another person who's in the Blue House. And once you're in the Blue House, you can share files with these contacts that you've established. You could have an instant, instant same time meeting and present, you know, some things with your contacts. You can have these forms. You can create custom forms for people to fill out and use. There are activities, which Jess mentioned prior to the show starting, where you can actually, you know, start a project with, you know, some of your partners or coworkers for that matter. And it's kind of interesting. It is kind of beta. I've made a few connections in it, but I really haven't done much beyond that, because I'm already involved in things like LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and all these other things. And, you know, I don't know where Lotus is going to go with it, whether it's going to be some type of paid-for service that you're going to have to pay a premium price for certain features. I don't. Any of you guys know where they're going with it?
I think in the press release it said it was at the moment it's free during the trial, but it is eventually going to be a paid service.
So right now, I don't pay for – well, okay. I don't pay for Facebook. I don't pay for any of these social sites. So what's Blue House going to offer
me? It's from IBM. Facebook could be gone in 6 months.
Yeah, I know that. But now we get talking about this whole social networking topic, and I'm going to throw it back to Jess now and talk about, you know, Jess works, you know, with very small businesses, right? And mm-hmm. And before the show started, we talked about how these companies, whether they even know about social networking, and how are they using it to conduct business, if they are at all. So, Jess, take it away.
Well, let's see. No, one of the things that I was talking about right before we started recording is I just think it's funny that a lot of the small businesses that I see, they follow the exact same technology path that we do, just much later than we do, because we're all sort of the early adopters, you know, in like the global technology community, blah, 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 blah. You know, so they find out about Facebook, and then they're all on Facebook and playing with the apps and meeting old high school friends and thinking it's really cool. And then all of a sudden they realize that, okay, well, it's kind of irritating and, you know, maybe it's a little useless. And then they find out about Twitter and think it's really cool and sign up with everybody. And, you know, they follow the exact same patterns that we do. So hopefully, you know, they'll be able to catch up and start doing more, using social networking to actually help them work. And it would certainly benefit them, because these are the types of people, they're all doing business with each other. You know, I mean, granted, if you live in Rhode Island, we're all bartering with each other, so nobody's really doing any, you know, business per se. But you have, you know, people doing businesses with small businesses. So hopefully.
It's interesting, because Microsoft's been doing that for a few years with BeCentral, which is really a small business market that also gives them the ability to market to larger companies and things like that. So, and you know, and I don't know whether Microsoft makes money on that, but they have hundreds of thousands of members and small businesses that are on using that service.
Well, I used to use that service like way back when, right when I started, and had no idea. And B Central was actually, I'm not going to lie, it was a great resource for me because it gave me a lot of value, and that it had tips, it had a lot of great articles, it had a lot of great tools and utilities, and it was very useful.
Yeah.
You know, granted, there was a lot of things I didn't use, but for the majority of things, it offered me a lot of value. The problem that I see, and it's kind of exactly to tie it in with what you were saying with the Lotusphere opening general sessions, without knowing the actual business value of this, it's hard to even say if it's going to be useful. You know, I mean, one of the things that I was a scenario that I had proposed right before we started to ask if this, you know, if is this something that we can use? I volunteer for a nonprofit in the area, and I, you know, help run about 5 fundraising events per year. And so we meet once a month with this little gaggle of volunteers for this nonprofit, and we plan these events. And every event is a project, and every event has different tasks. And because we're all volunteers, you know, we all have our day jobs. So it's not like we're all on the same software platform. We just can't be. So my question was, you know, is this something that would benefit this is scenario, you know, people working together from different companies to get, you know, to share tasks and things. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, if that's how they planned on using activities, you know, things like that.
I think you nailed it, Jess. I think you came up with a good scenario, and that's, they did show a Blue House scenario during last year's opening general session. And they said it was a secure place, you know, for you to extend your company out to your partners, right?
Yeah.
And in your case, you know, if it's a nonprofit that you work with these people on a periodic basis, and you have projects and you have events, I think that really lends itself to, you know, where Blue House is headed. You know, I don't think you're going to put your whole 4,000 employee company on Blue House. I really don't think that's where they're going, but maybe I'm wrong. You know,
but even you know what like a. I guess even it would be really good for people like contractors who have various subcontractors working on a big project, or even, you know, a wedding facility, because they have, you know, DJs that they work with. And, you know, there's tons of any type of project, I think, where there's lots of different people coming together to work on something. It seems like it could be good for Blue House.
Yeah, and there's nothing in the Lotus portfolio right now where you have, like, software as a service, and Blue House is... Blue House is that service, so. Okay.
Yeah. Now it'll just be, you know, to getting everybody to pay for it if they have to come January.
How come it's not Yellow House?
What about the Gingerbread House?
All right. Mr. Burgess, you've been a little quiet today.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know how it is. And you have... family has been bitten by the bug lately, so I'm sort of just recovering right now from all the little cough and sniffles that the kids bring home from school.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I mentioned this on a prior 1352 report, but Sean is the most kick-ass cook that I know. Oh, Gail and I were out there for dinner, and we also had dinner at the Blatniks. I'm not going to put your dinner above theirs. But I was able to determine what your dinner was. I had a little problem at egg. Yeah, Chris, I went there, but I'm joking.
What are you eating, squirrel there,
Maria,
or something?
Maria and Chris, I apologize. You know I'm just joking around.
Was that kosher pork?
Yeah, it was kosher. It wasn't pork, though. It was beef. I thought it was pork, and it was red. I'm like, oh, my God, how can I eat this? It's red pork. And then the next day, or actually – yeah, the next day or so, I figured out, well, I was told that it really was beef. So, oh, well. What do you expect from, you know, people in Cleveland, you know?
You should have been here at dinner on Friday night. I made a homemade gravy with the full chicken roasted. It was quite yummy.
Jess, are you a good cook?
If I cooked it, I probably wouldn't eat it.
All right.
That would be Matt's the cook in the house.
My husband is the kick-ass cook of the house, yes.
Okay. Is Zoe a cook yet?
No, but that is why she did get her picture taken with Alton Brown and Daddy at the closing ceremony at Lotus Fair last year.
I did not
want to get in that picture. It was not my thing. It's going to be Daddy and Zoe cooking together, so they have the picture together.
So, Carl, tell me, do you eat a lot of chipmunks? I mean, do you prepare a lot of chipmunks?
You know, I like the chipmunks when they're roasted. And also, actually, a good pie curry chipmunk's very popular.
Curry chipmunk. So, Carl, do you cook for real, or?
I do. I can cook. I do cook, but I don't cook all the time.
What do you say when you go out on a date? Do you tell the girls you can cook?
Totally can cook. And you know what? I make great chocolate desserts.
Being able to make desserts is sometimes more important than being able to cook.
And Sean, exactly. You did. Yeah. You prepared
especially
an
chocolate
awesome
desserts.
I'll vouch for that.
All right. Anything else for episode 5 of the 1352 Report, gang?
I was just thinking about other stuff that's been appearing out there, maybe new products, things like that. It's Domcaster from Declan Lynch, the guy that's brought us the Blogosphere template. He's written Domcaster, which is basically Twitter for your internal website using Domino as your server. There's another tool from Adam Osborne in Australia, which is called Defrag NSF, which allows you to defragment your NSFs, is I believe what it does, which, not being a big administrator guy, I'm not sure how big of an issue that is, but it's pretty interesting. And Adam's one of those guys that's been in the Lotus community since Smart Suite days, and he's often actually at Lotus Fair as well.
Yeah, I found that interesting, the defrag stuff. You know, I didn't really know, like you said before, that NSFs suffered from, you know, fragmentation. So
yeah, the other thing I think you can do with it is you can pre-allocate space. So you can actually say create this NSF, but make it 2 gigabytes now when you know that the drive's being defragmented, even though you may only have one document in it.
That'll keep you from running out of space for the important databases.
That's right, and it keeps all the information together in the one place on the hard drive, which should help performance. So it's actually pretty interesting.
Jess?
One thing I did want to point out, sorry, is that Domcaster, to find out more, I was just poking online, it's Domcastr, and you can find out more on Declan's blog, which is qtzar.com.
QTZR.com. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I put up today a Lotusphere 2009 Flickr group. So if you go to Lotusphere and you want to post your pictures, you can post them to the LS2009 group, which is the Lotusphere 2009 group.
I want to mention two things. One is that Chris Tui and Tim Tripconi do a podcast called Yellowcast. You can find it at yellowcast.net. A lot of really good tips on development, not so much admin stuff, but the episode 6, I think, which just came out, it was a great show, very in-depth and very insightful, so go check those guys out. And also,
basically what you're saying is they're everything we aren't.
or the taking notes guys are, you know, those guys.
Those guys retired, I think. They made so much money, they've retired.
No, we actually have some great episodes coming up, but I can't tell you what they are. And then the other thing was Chris Miller, right, and a whole bunch of other people do a podcast on social networking called The Social Geeks. And I don't know that URL of that podcast offhand, and I'll put it in Jess's show notes. So.
Oh. And there was somebody, and I can't remember who it was, has a podcast about ghosts.
Oh, yes. Andy Donaldson.
Andy Donaldson.
The Pervcast, I think they call it. PERV. Paranormal something.
I'm glad you cleared that up.
No,
yes, because I was thinking all kinds of different things.
No,
I was kind of afraid to type it into my browser, actually.
Yeah. What about you, Sean? You got some giveaways for the.
The only little tidbit I have is that they just released a new version of Lotus Foundation software tonight. I love their naming schemes. 1.0.1b.4. Loving it.
That's kind of like the Quicker and Connections naming schemes. And get ready for Hotfix 28.0.3.1.
Which you can only install if you've installed the previous 27 hotfixes.
All right.
Jeez.
In the right order.
So is that Absolutely. Is that a wrap, gang?
Sounds good to me.
Good I think
good
so.
Info. Sorry for not being with you guys for the last couple of weeks. But
blame
Bruce. That's what it's all about. So, Jess, give a big hug to your husband and your daughter.
Sean,
say hi to the Rugrats, who I miss
will do.
Immensely. I miss playing with your children at the kitchen table there with your
They will be coming to Lotusphere, hopefully.
Uh-oh. and Carl, you know, I haven't seen you here in my home office here for about 2 or 3 years now, so you need to come out and visit.
I think it's actually been about 4 or 5.
No, it was when we first started the Taking Notes podcast, which is coming up on its 3-year anniversary, November 5th.
More recent than I thought.
Wow.
Though.
Yeah.
That's
so
incredible.
All right. I have one more thing.
I was impressed by Bruce's large microphone.
Well, thank you. It is a very
and his,
big.
And his Twitter is so big.
All right. Just one more thing that I forgot.
We'll save that one for the Perv podcast.
No. This is not Perv stuff. This is good stuff here. This is the fine folks at Snaps, where Julian Robichaux now works, started, well, they have two sites, right? One is for the quicker templates that they have. I think they have, what, 8, 9, 10, or 11, 12 templates that they give away as open source, I think, right? And you can find those at templates.snaps.com, and I'll put that in the show notes. And they just started a blog for those templates where they talk about all the goodness of those particular templates. So,
Do you know if that will be on Planet Lotus?
No, because vendor blogs really are not going to be on Planet Lotus. You had to go.
Oh.
There. You had to go there.
What does that mean then? Does that mean Ed's blog won't be on there?
Well, it's the way that I understood it, and I'm sure we'll get a comment from Yancey on the blogs, is that it is Planet Lotus, right? So any of the people who develop and manage the product that we all blog about, you know, that is the products. So, Carl, you really had to go there, and I was fine. I was fine with having the Idea Jam blog removed.
You left it out there hanging for me. It's not like I'm not going to pick at it.
Softball pitch.
You know my take, and I've been pretty public, you know, with Yancey and you and others about it, is that I like to see everything Lotus on Planet Lotus, and then use my planet, my PL.
Where's the Lotus Car stuff?
The Lotus Car stuff is at planetlotus.com.
Did you know that Lotus Cars used to have Lotus Excel? Which was before Microsoft Excel. Just a little bit of competitive information, nephew.
You know, Carl, you're usually funny, but that...
I tell you, I'm cracking myself up.
All right, whatever. You know, it's,
I know that you're going to cut it out, but I just you
no,
put it
there.
I'm like,
I'm not
going to
cut it out. I'm not going to cut it out. It is what it is. You know, it's not. It's a community site that's run by someone else, and they have every right to discriminate what kind of information goes on the site. So,
words like that, inflammatory words. Next, you'll be saying you pass around with terrorists.
No, Carl, I'm hot. All right, and I am hot. Actually, I'm not hot this week. There's some other people that are hot.
It's that hot.
But you know something? I'm going to go tell Gail right now how freaking hot I am, okay?
She's going to be like, get away from me. I'm having a hot flash.
All right. It's time to have a hot dinner. Sean, always a pleasure to hear your voice. Jess.
Thank you.
Jess. Oh, here we go. We're getting Skype. As I'm sending Jess off, Carl is Skyping me here with naked pictures of Jess Stratton. What? No, only kidding.
Yeah, I'm not typing that into a browser.
Oh, it's from you.
I will to see
Jess.
What comes up.
Oh, naked pictures of Carl Tyler. I'm sorry. And Carl, behave and get going on getting your Apilio products out the door, okay?
Here's an interesting thing. If you type in naked picture Jess Stratton, do you know what comes up at the top? Ed Brill. I kid you not.
Wait, who is that?
Honest to God, type in Google naked picture Jess Stratton or naked pictures Jess Stratton, and it comes up with Ed Brill.
All right, hold on. We got to do this. Naked pictures.
Yes, it does.
Jess
It does. I can verify
Is there
that.
Something to tell us, Jess?
Holy
Jess,
cow.
Blog isn't even on the first page.
My curiosity is just as piqued as yours is.
Jess, your voice is kind of high there. All right.
There was that time between Ed's divorce and Ed getting married. You know, he was a regular guy.
Actually, wow. All right. Carl, behave. Jess, behave. And Sean?
I'll try.
There's no hope. All right. That's it for episode 5 of the 1352 report. We'll catch you guys real soon.
Bye, everybody.